Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, it is, of course, today Mother's Day, the day when we celebrate our mums and say a big thank you. But not all of us have had the privilege and the good luck to know our mothers. Many survivors of mother and baby homes have never been able to find out who their birth parents were. And as a result, they still struggle with their identity. Well, this coming Wednesday, the Abbey Theatre will host a special streamed event called Home Part One. It features the testimony of survivors of the homes, accompanied by a special musical performance from singer Mary Cochran. Here's just a little of one of Mary's songs as featured in Home Part One. This is Magdalen Laundry.
For 17 years I've been scrubbing this washboard ever since the fellas started in after me. My mother, poor soul, didn't know what to do. The canon said, child, there's a place for you. I'm serving my time at the Magdalen Laundry. I'm towing the line at the Magdalen Laundry. There's girls from the country, girls from the town. Their bony white elbows going up and down. The Reverend Mother, as she glides through the place, a tight little smile on the side of her face. She's running the show at the Magdalen Laundry. I've got no place to go but the Magdalen Laundry.
Cochran, accompanied there by Johnny Taylor, singing Magdalen Laundry for Home Part One on the Abbey stage. Well, Noelle Brown is the lead artist on the project, and she herself was adopted from the Bessborough Mother and Baby Home in Cork. And Noelle joins me now. Noelle, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam.
Thanks so much for joining us. Listen, many of my listeners will know you as a playwright, as an actor, also as a prominent campaigner on behalf of survivors. Remind us of your own start in the world.
Well, I was born in the now notorious Bessborough Mother and Baby Home in Cork in the 60s, and I was adopted from there, and I grew up about a mile and a half from Bessborough. I didn't realise I was born there until I went tracing my birth family in 2002. Like a lot of adopted people, I was told I was born in Dublin and then sent to Cork. And I used to play on the grounds of Bessborough, but I had no idea that I'd actually been born there.
And as you say, as an adult, you looked for your birth parents using your own resources. But alas, you didn't manage to find them in time, did you, Noelle?
No, I mean, it took me 17 years to get to the end of that story, just with all the impediments and blocks from the church and from the state. But when I searched for my birth mother initially, I discovered that she had died 9 years previous to my tracing. I then was told that there was no information about my birth father, which was a lie. The information had been deleted, basically. And I kind of parked it. But then I went back to Tuusla over the years looking for, you know, medical information. You know, as you get older, it's really important. And in 2017, I did an interview on The Late Late Show and then got a call from Tuusla to say that they actually did have my birth father's name and address, but they wouldn't give it to me. I'd have to wait for 2.5 years and then they would contact him on my behalf. Now, I didn't believe that they would do that, having spent all those years being messed around by agencies, by state agencies. So I went down the DNA route and finally came to the end of my story at the end of 2019 and discovered that my birth father had died in 2016. So that was another, you know, ending, but not the ending that I would have liked.
That's so upsetting. And when you did find about your own mom, and she died so young, she was only 47 when she died, Noelle, but her husband told you a few things, didn't he, about what happened?
Yeah. I mean, her family were extraordinary, like her sister, who was amazing, and all her brothers as well. They were, you know, they were gathering information, and that's what you're like. You're like a detective on your life. You're just finding bits of information, clues, mostly what people tell you about someone, because that's all you have. You know, you never get to meet the person, and it's very, very difficult. But, you know, there were bits of information that she was at the window in the nursery in Besborough and saw the car being driven away, which is very typical of that story, you know, that she was to feed me. And, you know, the nurse, the nun said, oh, don't bother feeding her. She'll be home for the next feed. You know, bits of information that I gathered about my birth mother. I mean, she was dead at 47. She was given contaminated blood in the early 90s and ended up with hepatitis C, and after a liver transplant died. So, you know, quite a horrible, tragic life in that sense, you know, and being let down by the state, I suppose, you know.
That image, and like we saw it in the movie Philomena, of, you know, your little baby. Yeah. I just can't imagine how women and mothers, and like today is Mother's Day. How did that start in life, Noelle? And I suppose your challenge of constantly finding out who you are. I mean, that phrase you just used, being a detective on your own life. How has that affected you?
It's been hard. I mean, I grew up in a lovely family. I have my mum, Iris, and she's 93 now. So I grew up in a good family, but it doesn't stop questions. You know what I mean? And I suppose if I'd been given the information in 2002, without all the impediments and that took up most of my life, 17 years of my life, I would have a different outcome. But what happens when you are prevented from getting information and denied your identity is that you feel stigmatized, you know, you feel lesser. And I think that was the thing that turned me into an activist, because I assumed as an Irish citizen, I would be given the right to my identity, information that I really needed. But it's this absolute cutoff of, you know, that you're treated as if you're back in the 1960s. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't come to terms with that for a long time. And I think the activism and also being an artist and creating work around the subject helped in a lot of ways. But I still find it extraordinary that we're still fighting for our rights. And that needs to change very, very quickly. I know there's legislation being raised, but it needs to happen quickly. We need the right to our identities. We need our birth certs, basic birth certificates. We don't have them, and we are denied them. So it leaves you feeling, it does leave you feeling stigmatized. And it's very hard to come to terms with it for a lot of people in this country who are battling. 100,000 adoptees are battling for their rights.
And clearly for you, and, you know, I've spoken to other survivors on Primetime, the recent Mother and Baby Home report, it didn't say what survivors expected, nor did it seem to provide the catharsis that you might have wished for. In fact, it appears to have had the opposite effect. Why?
Yeah. It absolutely traumatized people. It was hugely, hugely flawed. I mean, the findings of the report itself, which needs to be rejected by the government, to say there was no evidence of incarceration, no forced adoption, no injuries to children who were the subject of vaccine trials, when very clearly in the testimonies, all that evidence is there. To talk about survivors as their evidence, their testimonies as being contaminated evidence, it was a hugely destructive report in the end, having waited 5 years for it, and the hurt that it caused for survivors in terms of their testimonies, including my own, being taken out of context, words changed, cut and pasted badly. The effect was so damaging, because the courage it took survivors to go into that room and sit there and tell their stories, some of them deeply horrific stories, way, way more horrific than my own, that courage that it took to do that, and to have your words not even taken down, particularly in relation to the confidential committee, there were no transcripts, just 222 questions of boxes that were ticked. To do that to people who are in such a vulnerable position and having already been nearly destroyed by a system that denies them their rights was a horrible, horrible experience for people. And I mean, I'm so happy that this event is happening on Wednesday night to give the voices back to survivors, to not to be heard, to be disbelieved and have your words taken from you, which is all you have. We have our stories. And to have those taken from them and taken out of context and virtually destroyed, really, and then have these offensive findings sent back to us is deeply hurtful. And it's the effect that it has had on survivors has been a re-traumatizing, and I don't say that lightly, but that has been the effect of it. I've spoken to so many survivors as part of this project for the Abbey, and it is deeply disturbing what has happened with that report.
And obviously the people who were involved in the report, they would say otherwise. But look, let's not get bogged down into that report. I want to talk about what's happening on Wednesday, exactly this opportunity where you can all give your own testimonies. What will people mm-hmm. see, Noelle, when they watch the stream on Wednesday?
Well, they will see and hear survivors, actors and public figures reading the testimonies publicly on the Abbey stage. And it's a really it's also there'll be archival documents read. But mostly the heart of it is testimonies. It's the survivors are centre of this project, which is something that was absent from the report. So it's a hugely significant event. And people say, well, why? You know, why? This is a massive chunk of Irish history that is not even being taught in our schools. So this event is very, very important. For people should watch it, listen to the words of survivors, and to have survivors put centre stage on our National Theatre on St. Patrick's Day is a really, really significant event, and I urge people to watch it. The proceeds on the night will also go to Bernardo's post-adoption services, who have worked with survivors for many, many years. But ultimately, it's the voice of survivors. The public know what happened. You know, the public are behind us in terms of our fights for our rights, but there are details that are missing. To hear the actual stories of survivors and their experiences is the central issue on the night, and I think it's really, really important that people understand and hear our voices, not, you know, shaped or taken out of context or any of those things, but the actual testimonies of survivors.
Okay. Noelle, and Home Part 1 is going to be streamed this coming Wednesday, 17th
yes.
of March, St. Patrick's Day, at 7 p.m. on the Abbey Theatre's YouTube channel. And as you said
yes.
earlier, any donations received during the premiere will go to Bernardo's post-adoption service. Noelle, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Miriam.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Mind yourselves.